Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Not my story, but my grandfather's actually, who served during Vietnam. Now, he's never been one to really share his stories and things with anyone, but he will sometimes. He recently, just in the last couple of years, noticed that I took a liking to cryptozoology and things of that realm. After learning that it's even a thing, he began to tell me how during the Vietnam War, which again he served in, a part of the platoon he was in was attacked by these large 10-foot-tall reptilian crocodilian creatures. They killed at least 8 of his men. His story terrified me when he told me it, and so I'll share it with you. He said that his platoon had been on a long and grueling march to the jungle. They were really close to where they were going, but had one more obstacle to go through, a river that would take at least half a day to cross with all their gear. They were already in the midst of a very thick part of the jungle, and with their current location, it would be tougher. So they waited for nightfall before crossing. There were Viet Cong soldiers in the area, and they wanted to wait for them to pass, everybody except for the point man who had gone ahead of the group to scout out the crossing. He said that after about an hour or so, he returned with wild, terrified eyes, asking if they could get across without making too much noise due to there being something large in the river. Well, my grandfather said they did their best, but it was still quite noisy when they got in the water. He heard this strange, almost trumpet-like noise he described in the distance, sounding like it was coming from the direction of the river. At first, they thought it might be a kind of animal or something, but after a few seconds, it became clear that there were too many weird things about these noises that did not pinpoint back to any animal. So they simply kept moving. By the time they got to about the halfway point, night had fallen, and because of this, my grandfather said he only saw one dark shape in the river as it made its way under them, disappearing after about a second or two. He said that besides that one moment, nothing too much seemed out of the ordinary besides the noises, but you could tell everybody was very uneasy. Once everybody got across the river and onto land again, his point man set up to keep watch for a few moments while everybody else tried to get a bit of sleep. He claims that 5 minutes into the guard shift, nothing seemed wrong at all. But then he saw two or three of these dark shapes in the water that began to ascend out of the water. Quick note, this section that they were in was a very thick part of the jungle. He told me even the captured Vietnamese refused to travel through here, and when questioned, they acted very scared. They knew. Anyway, he said that the first thing he did was wake everybody up, and for some reason, his point man wouldn't respond. After a second of shock, he realized this as well as the fact that their point man was no longer on post, but had now been dragged into the water. My grandfather said that at this point, everybody began to panic, some reaching for their guns while others tried to get a better look at whatever was in the river. It wasn't long before they realized that this thing had killed off half their men, including their point man, taken in their sleep. He said there were three or four of these creatures in the water, coming out and going back in. Everybody started shooting at them, but it didn't do much other than make things worse. At first, they thought it was just because there were so many men shooting, and then he noticed that some of the bullets would go through one of these creatures, and after a second or two, another creature on the same side as the other one would rise up out of the water and eat what was left of the comrade on shore. He said everybody tried to run away at this point, but some didn't make it back into the jungle in time before watching everything they had ever had become eaten by these things. They went into hiding for hours until dawn finally came around. Apparently, during this time, he wasn't sure if he was awake or dreaming when more than once he heard screams sound off in the distance. He knew those were his teammates being eaten and torn alive. He told me that none of this seemed real if he closed his eyes, but in the daylight, it was a different story. He told me that in a few short hours, they finally heard a chopper in the distance and began to signal them with their gun mags. He said that when they got to where my grandfather and some of his friends were at, they were all that was left. There were just bones and bits of meat and flesh from these creatures. He told me he never returned to that part of the jungle again, and making the shortcut was a huge mistake. He told me this story about 10 years ago. It still keeps me up at night sometimes, thinking about what happened. This is the only time my grandfather would ever talk about running into large humanoid crocodilian creatures. And now these weren't just regular crocodiles. These were something out of a nightmare. They had a taste for human flesh. Approximately three times a month, with occasional fluctuations, I experience a pronounced energy presence in my room. This sensation often triggers my cat to vocalize and act as though it's observing an unseen entity, although this behavior typically subsides shortly afterward. These occurrences have repeated multiple times. Furthermore, during nighttime, I frequently encounter a peculiar sensation of a small hand touching my waist. I also perceive the feeling of someone walking on my bed, accompanied by a distinct sense of pressure on the mattress and a heightened energy ambience in the room. I'm left wondering about the nature of these experiences. Could they be indicative of a benevolent spirit, a malevolent entity, or even the possibility of extraterrestrial involvement? Basically, I'm doing what a normal person would do around this time. I'm asleep and, well, suddenly, I'm woken up by two loud knocks that sound human on my window. Please note that my window looks out onto an enclosed and locked-in back patio. Therefore, nothing should be able to access it. But anyways, here I am. I'm startled as F and too freaked out to look. Eventually, after about 3 minutes, I decide to go look as I need to plug back in my stuff, as this was right after a thunderstorm. And well, when I look out, there's absolutely nothing there, no signs of anything at all, and well, in the morning, I went to the other side of my window to find absolutely nothing, no back door unlocked. No signs of activity, absolutely nothing, and well, after this, I decided to pull out my phone and type this out in an attempt to debunk this. Really sorry if this was confusing. About a year ago, my significant other and I decided to go camping, after she told me she'd never been before. Well, this former Boy Scout found a spot, packed his pack, and decided to give her the camping trip of a lifetime. We got to the site, left the envelope with cash for the overnight fee at the empty cabin, and drove into the woods. There were sites all along the paths, but some were taken. Seeing as she wanted to be as removed as possible, we decided to turn left and go up a steep incline to see if there were sights at the top. Well, what I saw will haunt me till the day I die. not more than 10 feet in front of the car, after I slammed the brakes, is a giant black bear, on its hind legs and looking straight at us. No one blinks. After a minute, he gets down in a huff, turns around, and scampers off. A few minutes after that, my significant other and I break out in screams of terror and floor it back to the edge of the campsite. Fast forward to that night, we'd settled down a bit from our encounter and prepared to go to sleep. We'd chosen a site right next to a stream, so as to have it lull us to sleep. Big mistake. We're both cuddling and falling asleep, when suddenly, we hear a splash in the stream. We both bolt upright, both thinking of the same animal that we are now realizing might be thirsty and nearby. Our car is parked just 20 feet from the tent, and we consider making a sprint for it before hear another few splashes in the water, followed by a grunt. Well, if the splashing didn't do it, the noise did. Eager to make a ruckus, I sound the alarms on my car and scream F you as loud as I can. We then nope the F out of the tent, dive into the car, and drive off, leaving everything behind. We drove around for about 10 minutes of terror after that, plotting next moves and discussing our certainty of having just avoided death. Eventually, we decide to return to the campsite, throw everything into the trunk as fast as humanly as possible, and yeet it to the open road. We then went back to my house, reset up the tent in our fenced-in backyard right behind the porch, and went to sleep. I work as a field biologist and spend a lot of time outdoors. One summer I was spotlighting for ferrets in a national park, which required me to follow a trail on a GPS and shine a high-powered flashlight around in the middle of the night, looking for any eyeshine reflecting back at me. The park is a dark night preserve, meaning there are no other artificial lights and it gets seriously dark. Even with the spotlight, a lot of details end up washed out and difficult to determine. I was sweeping an area when I noticed a green eye shine by a boulder. I got excited thinking I'd found a ferret. I radioed to command and slowly began to approach. I thought I was seeing two small eyes close together, but actually I was seeing one single eye, which became apparent when a massive head swung around and focused its other eye on me. Turns out that boulder was actually the body of a large bison, and I was standing less than 10 feet from its snout. In the middle of the rutting season, I just quietly radioed command and slowly backed away as it stared me down the entire time. I gave them a wide berth going around it, and I think I was lucky that it was either too tired or too unsure of the strange bright light to attack me. My name is Clark Stacy. I was born and raised in the deep Everglades of Florida, a place where many city slickers have deemed uninhabitable. But a country boy like me can find solace in the lush greenery and plentiful wildlife. From the birds to the boas, I was a friend of the flora and fauna. The relationship was, on occasion, not mutual. The skeeters and gnosians were dreadful. The nearly daily rains were unbearable. There was a man eating clam in our backyard. Okay, maybe not that last one. But I do have some messed up tales from the forest. I'll get it out of the way right now. My parents divorced when I was too young to approach the situation rationally, but old enough to know what it meant. In short, I thought it was my fault. That's just about when I started going on adventures through the thick brush and humid swamps. It was the only way I could really take my mind off of home stuff and put it on keeping my ass alive. But enough about me. I know why you came here. Have you ever heard the song Gator Country by Molly Hatchet? It's about Florida. Hell, I've probably seen more individual alligators than I have human beings. One drizzly day, I ventured out about a mile from my backwoods home through the dank forests. I found a clearing, about 30 feet in diameter, with the prettiest daisies and petunias I had ever seen. As I stepped into the clearing, the rain subsided and the sheer Florida sun caressed and massaged my waterlogged skin. As I basked in this heavenly feeling, I heard a heavy rustle in the tree line. I went from pure ecstasy to a dead standstill. Just about anything could have made that noise, and half of the things it could have been were capable of killing me. For reasons I can't really explain, I wanted to take that 50-50 chance. It was shortly after the divorce, and I felt myself completely numb and invulnerable to danger. Mere feet away from the source of my curiosity, I heard a soft, gravely voice. Clark. Terror gripped the very fiber of my being, and I felt every muscle tense up. I leapt away from the thick brush just in time, as a full-grown gator lashed out and tried to catch me in his gaping maw. When I say full-grown, I mean at least 16 feet long, and as fat as those folks in line at Walmart. I ran like a man hopefully only has to run once or twice in his life, with his life on the line and adrenaline coursing through his veins. I raced through the overpowering greenery, collecting nasty cuts from the razor-sharp palm fronds. I got home and was interrogated by my mom about why I was near covered in blood and breathing like a maniac. I explained that I saw a gator and split. She said that them's is more afraid of you as you is of them. Yeah, right. Now, after that experience, any rational person would stop going into deep woods alone. But I'm not a normal person, and that experience was far from the scariest. Once, during winter, I was exploring a little closer to home. I discovered a banked creek under a thick canopy. I quickly checked my phone's map to see what body of water it connected to, only to find that it wasn't on the map. That should have been enough to turn me around and send me home, but I was feeling adventurous. I wasn't about to get frazzled by some pathetic, uncharted creek, so I hopped down to the bank and started walking along the sandy slopes. It only took me 3 minutes of walking to find a large carved-out cavern, the kind an alligator would sleep in during the colder months. I saw a decent-sized stone in the creek and got the worst idea of my life. I picked up the stone and chucked it into the moist, dark abode. What I heard was not a sound a gator is capable of making. It sounded more like a silverback gorilla whose genitals were just ripped off with a pair of needle-nose pliers. The sound reverberated in my lungs and shook my body to its core. I bolted along the bank with a pace that could put Usain Bolt to shame. I looked over my shoulder to see whose slumber I had interrupted, and I truly wish I hadn't. I saw a humanoid figure, standing at maybe 10 feet tall, covered in matted, auburn fur. It bellowed once again. I found where I had entered the creek's shores and flew home. That was the last time I ever went out into the wilderness. Me and Mom recently moved to the suburbs to the north of the Everglades, and I could not be happier. But sometimes, while laying at night, I feel a strange attraction to the beasts of my true home. I am forever haunted by this experience. It was April 1977. Two other young guys and I were in a juvenile detention center in Vergennes, Vermont. It was way out in the country, and we had made plans to escape that day. We asked for passes to walk across campus to the infirmary. Then when we got outside, we ran through the apple fields, up along the creek, and headed north. At one point, a bull chased us out onto a tree fallen in the water. We finally got away and continued running for what seemed like hours. It was a heart-pounding, drenched-with-sweat ordeal, going through brush fields and a slightly wooded area. We were very tired and running sloppy when all of a sudden, what sounded like a helicopter was overhead. We ran under a tree and a big shadow went over us. We looked up. A giant creature landed on a thick branch. We just saw its back at first. It looked like a person's back, but like a bodybuilder's, with rippling muscles and long legs. We were trying to figure out what it was. It was about 5 to 6 feet tall. When its head turned completely backward, these huge red orangish round eyes, that seemed to be glowing, were staring right at us. They had a hypnotic effect. We were all frozen in fear as it looked at us like prey, and it seemed to be looking for the weakest one. All of a sudden, the branch broke from the weight of this big creature. But its claws were locked on, and those huge wings unfolded. The wind from those wings was very strong, and it carried the branch up over us and dropped it right in front of us. Then it turned its body while hovering above us. I yelled, grabbed a branch, waved it, and made lots of noise. It looked a little bewildered and very quietly turned away and glided off without hardly making a sound. I believe it thought we were injured prey and probably hunted other animals like that. I also believe it was trying to scatter us by dropping the tree limb nearby. It was a huge. My native people's owl legend calls them big hoots. They had horns like horned owls. It was brown with a grayish speckled underbelly, huge claws that could grab a person, and an enormous beak. I think this is what people call the Mothman. One of the guys hung himself a few months later. He was really freaked out after the encounter and turned himself into the authorities. His name was Jim. I believe if we were not hiding from the helicopter we thought was overhead, it would have snatched Jim. He was the weakest and lagging behind. It did seem to be concentrating on him when it was staring us down with those big orange-red glowing eyes. I have been telling this story for over 40 years. Most people think I am crazy when I talk about an owl with a 10-foot wingspan. I'm from Clearfield, Pennsylvania. My friend and I used to go to a local train bridge down from the VFW and hang out at night. It was a peaceful place to go for a short walk. We went down one night and kept having strange vibes about it. We reached the bridge and paused for a moment, and then walked halfway out on the bridge. We were there for about 10 minutes, talking and laughing, and then a huge rock flew off the hillside and hit the water so hard that it hit the bottom of the river. I heard it hit the other rocks on the bottom. It did not roll off the hill. It was thrown. There was no other noise until it hit the water. Anyway, we both paused and shined our lights to the other side and didn't see anything. So we just got up and left because I wasn't hanging around. We got off the other side heading back to the truck. We then heard a wood-on-wood knock, and I'm a pretty big and fearless guy. But my butt got the hell out of there as fast as I could. I still hunt white-tailed deer down there despite what happened. I've got a story for you, and I don't know what it is. Time travel, time slip, I don't know. My friend lives 400 miles away from me. She's a girl, but it's nothing romantic. I was at home in Saskatchewan, and I had a couple of glasses of wine. I fell asleep on my couch watching a football game. So I woke up at 2:30 a.m. because the dog jumped on me and wanted to go outside and do her business. So I did that, and then I went to bed. I got a phone call about 7 o'clock in the morning from my friend Rhonda, and she said to me, "Why did you leave without telling me you were going?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she says, "You were here last night, remember?" And I said, "What?" She said, "I was sitting in my kitchen crying because she and her boyfriend," she told me, "had broken up. And you had spent the night comforting me." I said, "Rhonda, I'm at home. I'm 400 miles away." She said, No, you're pulling my leg." She said, "Now I'm mad at you. You're telling me you don't believe me and you were here anyway." She decided to move back to my home city not long after that night. And get this, I walked into her house to help her pack. And when I stepped into her house, I'd never been there before. It was like, oh my God, I've been here before. Every hair on my body stood at attention. It was like somebody dumped cold water on me. And get this, she even said to me, "Don't you remember that at about 2:30 a.m., you had to take Jessie, my dog, to do her business?" So, I don't know what that was all about. Was it a ghost story or time travel? And Rhonda and I have talked about it ever since. It's like we are scared to talk about it because it both sends shivers up our spine. This happened in June 2016. The light of the day was starting to fade. We were driving to my mother's house and the small bridge on RT-313 was closed. So we turned left and went through the town of Federalsburg, Maryland. We then turned right trying to find a detour. I had just mentioned how we were making good time because I looked at the clock. It was 8:30 p.m. We came upon a very dark wooded area on the road. My mom said, "Wow, that is really dark." That is the last thing either of us remember. Then the next thing we knew, we looked at the clock. It was 9:25 p.m. It literally felt like seconds before it was 8:30. My 21-month-old daughter had been fussy right before the woods, but she was now very quiet. The dogs had been panting, but were now still and quiet. Everything was eerily quiet. We felt very disoriented and realized we were miles from where we originally were and in the totally wrong direction. Based on my memory, my good sense of direction, and my mother's knowledge of the area, it made no sense to be where we were. I then noticed a burning bump in the back of my head behind my right ear. My mother felt very numb and extremely disoriented. We both felt as though we had a sunburn, a hot, tight feeling on our faces. She then noticed a bump in her head in the same spot. They looked like fresh needle marks. We drove to my mother's house in Seaford, Delaware, in shock and disbelief at what just happened. After arriving home, we experienced headaches, neck aches, and feeling shaky. However, the swelling behind the ear had down on both of us. I was unable to find a mark on my daughter. We are upstanding citizens, and this is not a hoax. Something very strange happened to us that night, something we will never forget. We are thankful we had each other to share our experience with because it defies logic. Is it possible that we're experienced an alien abduction or a time slip? I can't believe that I say that because I have never believed in those possibilities before that evening. My dad recently told me this story and I was just amazed. I thought you would like to hear it. When I was young, about 3 or so, I was hospitalized and near death. I had a fever that just would not break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And was passed out for most of the hospitalization. My dad, who has always been religious, wanted the hospital's priest to come say a prayer for me. So, the priest comes to pray for me, but something's not right about the guy. He never gives his name and has no Bible. He says the entire prayer in Latin and blesses me. Now, my parents aren't married yet, and since the priest is there, they ask why they haven't been able to have another child yet. They had been trying for about a year with no luck. The priest tells them that they won't have another child until they're married. The priest leaves after that, and an hour later my fever breaks. The next day, the hospital's priest comes to the room to say a prayer for me. My dad is confused and tells the man that someone had already come the day before, to which the man replies that no priests were on duty the day before. He checked with all of the hospital staff and their visitation book and everything. Nothing turned up. No priest was in the previous day. He searched for years to find this priest that prayed for me, and he never found a single trace of him anywhere. A month after my mom and dad got married, my mom got pregnant with my brother. So, we'll never know who the mysterious man was, but I like to think he's my guardian angel, and he still remains with me. To this day, my dad still has found no record of him, not even someone who looks like him. Someone was looking out for me that day, though. I just wish I knew who. It's not exactly a hiking story, but right when I graduated high school, before me, three of my close friends, and one of those friends' girlfriend, went off to different schools, the military, we decided to go camp at Yellowstone. We were still early in the season, so there was nobody at our campsite. The first 2 days we drove and hiked around, looking at geysers and springs and all the natural wonder, and our nights we spent by the fire in shorts and t-shirts getting drunk. Thanks to one of our friends being a camp food connoisseur, we ate a lot of amazing food that I didn't even know could be made by campfire. The third night started like the previous two. It was warm, and we were drinking, and all was well. I woke up at around 3:30 in the morning because there was something wet and cold on my face. Turns out it snowed so hard in the 2 hours we'd been asleep that the tent I was in collapsed. The wet and cold was the tent's roof on my face. I woke everyone up, and we dug each other out and reset our tents. I figured now was as good a time as any to walk over to the bathroom, which was, I'd say, about the equivalent of 2 blocks away from our campsite. I should note, I would not consider myself a woodsman. I'm comfortable in the outdoors, probably more than most people. At that time in my life, I was an avid fisherman and a competent hunter, but I was very concerned about the wildlife, bears in particular. There are signs everywhere in Yellowstone about the wildlife that will kill you. Don't touch the bears, they will kill you. Don't touch the bison, they will kill you. Don't touch the deer, they will kill you. Hell, there are signs that even tell you not to touch the ground, because you could fall through and be acid boiled to death. Each sign comes complete with the bathroom guy illustration of why each thing is dangerous. The bison one I remember most is great, featuring a blocky bison tossing a guy into the air. The bison had speed lines behind it. I remember that very clearly. Anyway, I'm walking to the bathroom. It's dead quiet, and there's about 4 inches of heavy, wet snow on the ground. All I can hear is my footsteps, and then, as I walked, I started hearing something behind me. It sounded like much more careful footsteps, like something was conscious of the noise it was making as I moved through this kind of wooded area. I would take a few steps and pause, listening, and sure enough, there was this pat, 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 and then it would stop. I could see the brick bathroom structure, which was big enough for a men's and women's bathroom, with each bathroom having, I'm guessing for the women's room, 3 stalls in it. So I take the F off, sprinting the last 100 or so feet. I fly through the door, slip and crash onto the floor, and then scramble to slam the door behind me and press myself against it. I thought for sure that a bear, or maybe a mountain lion, was stalking me through the trees, and that I had just barely gotten away. I could only hope that my friends were as aware as me, and would be able to get in the trucks or whatever. So there I was, sitting on the bathroom floor with my back pressed against the door. It was cold, it was dark, I was wet, and still very much freaked out. I checked my watch. I'd been bracing the door for about 15 minutes. I decided it'd probably be okay to stand up. Just as I stood up, there was this big thump and the door knocked against me. I screamed, both out of shock and because some part of my animal brain was like, make noise, become large. There were loud noises coming from the other side of the door, and so I just carried on shouting and pressing against the door. Turns out it was my friend Nick. When I realized it was him, I sheepishly held the door for him and asked if anything followed him, and explained what I was doing. He said he didn't hear anything on his way in, but that didn't mean I was crazy for thinking something tried to follow me. Now a pair, though, and emboldened, we decided we had to get back to the campsite and warn our other 3 compatriots. We set out slowly, carefully listening after our steps, straining to hear or see anything. We had flashlights, and the moon was clear and bright off the snow, but it felt like every tree hid something with teeth. It was then that I heard it again. I grabbed Nick's shoulder and he nodded, saying, yeah, I heard it too. We paused, listening and watching. I was squeezing my flashlight so tight I could feel the metal gritting into my hand. We heard it again, closer this time, but we still didn't see anything. Do we run or what? I half whispered, half shouted, in the way that you do when you recognize you should be quiet, but can't contain the urgency of the statement. I don't know. I don't think so, said Nick. Among the 5 of us, I was the only one that wasn't an Eagle Scout. If Nick didn't know what to do, then I figured we were just done. I just thought that whatever came out of the dark was going to get bopped directly in the eye with my flashlight before it made a meal of me. Pat, pat. It happened again. This time, right in front of me. I knew what the noise was now. It was clumps of wet snow falling out of the trees. Idiot is not a strong enough word for what I felt like. Me and Nick laughed it off, both making fun of me, but also relieved we didn't have to fight for our lives on some campground. Later that day, we saw wolves hunting elk way off in the distance. We saw the Grand Prismatic Spring, and the various geysers and springs in the basin around it. A ranger came to our campsite and said that a bear had been seen in the area, and we needed to be extra careful about putting out food and trash away tonight, but nothing came of it. It was a pretty good trip. I'm genuinely concerned for my mental well-being after a recent unsettling incident in my home. I've considered sharing my experience in a post, both here and on Our Mental Health. However, I'm hesitant about the latter, as I fear some might rush to diagnose me with conditions like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. Up until now, I haven't displayed any signs of mental instability or depression. Apart from a brief period of sadness about external issues that occurred several years ago and left no lasting effects, I'm currently in my 20s, attending university, and the past few years have generally been quite positive, with some good news regarding my career and relationship. I apologize for the lengthy introduction, but I wanted to provide context and convey the shock I'm currently experiencing. I recently witnessed unexplainable activity, and since the only response I've received from those close to me is, "You're crazy," I'm seeking others who may have had similar experiences or insights. Here's what happened. It was around 11 p.m., and I had just returned home from a choir session. While I wasn't particularly tired, I was eager to relax in bed and catch up on a Netflix series I had been looking forward to. I hurriedly made my way home without paying much attention to my surroundings. It wasn't until I stood in front of my door that I realized it was wide open. I live in an area where it's customary to leave doors open until late at night or until every family member is home. It's a close-knit village where everyone knows each other, and each home is enclosed by fences with a garden, making it easy to spot any potential intruders from a window. Returning to the story, I reached inside the entrance to trigger the light sensor and adjust the triangular device, I'm not sure of the English term for it, that my family uses to prop the door open. However, the entrance and the stairs leading to the apartments remained in darkness. Despite my eyes being accustomed to the darkness, I noticed that the door to my family's apartment was also wide open at the end of the few steps in front of me. This situation unnerved me, but what happened next was even more unsettling. I suddenly felt extremely dizzy, as if I were intoxicated, and I stumbled backward outside, losing my balance on the doorstep. That's when I saw a figure emerging from my apartment, standing before me for a few moments, and then ascending another set of stairs. The figure had long hair, but I couldn't discern any other details due to its black silhouette. Its movements were peculiar, as if its legs weren't moving normally, but instead sliding up the steps. My stomach churned with fear. I became convinced that there were intruders in my house, and I grew increasingly worried for my brother, who lived in the apartment above mine and was at home that night. I was afraid that the intruders might catch him off guard. In a state of panic, I backed away from the house and rushed to the gate, frantically ringing my brother's doorbell. He answered shortly after, asking if I had forgotten my keys. I hesitated for a few seconds, unsure of what to say. Finally, I asked if our parents were home. They were not. I inquired if he had friends over. He replied in the negative. I cautiously returned to the entrance and listened for any sounds, but there was nothing. A few minutes later, my cat approached me, seeking attention, and then entered the house. Strangely, the lights on the stairs immediately came on. I stood in my garden for a while, feeling bewildered, frightened, and on the verge of fainting. I was sweating profusely. Summoning my courage, I entered the house, clutching my keys as a makeshift defense. I reached my brother's floor without encountering anyone or anything unusual. I peeked inside and, upon seeing my brother's family on the couch, simply bid them good night. I rushed down to my own apartment, locked the door, and meticulously checked every room. That night, I cried intensely because, for a brief moment, I genuinely believed there was an intruder. I was scared and confused. I still have no idea what actually transpired, and each attempt to rationalize it leaves me even more perplexed. I hope to receive feedback and am willing to answer questions, as long as they're not too personal. I kindly request that only serious comments be shared, as I'm genuinely concerned. Thank you. This occurred in the spring of 2018 while I was hiking the Appalachian Trail near the McAfee Knob in Virginia. I'd been hiking for a week at this point. I live in western North Carolina and was planning on about another 2 weeks on the AT. I've been on a ton of hikes, but this one was quite terrifying. It was mid-May and the scenery was breathtaking. I'd been hiking for about 5 hours that day when I decided to set up camp near a small brook. I was settling down for the night when I heard this rustling in the bushes nearby. Now, it wasn't the sort of rustling you would dismiss as a rabbit or a squirrel. This was louder and heavier. It sent a shiver down my spine. I remember thinking that maybe somebody else was out there, or maybe a deer. I tried not to think about it, but the noise continued, and in the exact same spot just off the campsite. It wasn't getting fainter or moving along, so I grabbed my flashlight and I headed towards the noise. As I was getting closer, the rustling stopped, but I could feel something. It's hard to explain, but it was like I could feel eyes on me. This feeling of being watched was overwhelming, like I was on display. I showed my flashlight around, but there was nothing to see, just trees and bushes in the blackness beyond my light. It was then that I heard it. I might even go so far as to say I felt it. There was a low growl, deep and guttural. I could feel it vibrate through the ground. I felt a sense of dread, like I was definitely in danger. My heart was racing, and I was finding it hard to even breathe. My mind was yelling, "Get out of there," but my body wouldn't listen. Then something happened. This figure slowly emerged from the shadows. It wasn't just any figure. It was enormous, and standing on two legs, silhouetted against the sparse moonlight. I felt my heart leap to my throat. I mean, we've all heard the stories, right, about Sasquatch or Bigfoot or whatever you want to call it. To actually see one, well, that is different. You have to remember that the light wasn't the best. There was no real moon that night, but when my flashlight hit the thing, oh my God, I could see that it was gigantic. I mean, it was really tall. I'd say easily 8 or even 9 feet. It towered above me, giving off this sense of pure raw power that can completely overwhelm me. It was broad, and its shoulders seemed as wide as a small car. No exaggeration. Its arms hung down almost to its knees, rippling with muscle under the hair that was matted and black, sort of blending with the shadows. Around its face, well, that's something I will never forget. It was more human-like than ape-like, but still not quite human. Its eyes were large and expressive, shining in the light with an intelligence that startled me. The nose was flat, more like ours than a bear or a wolf. The mouth, when it gaped open, I could see its teeth and even its breath as it exited its mouth in a slow stream of steam. The teeth were large, and they looked very sharp. It was a terrifying sight, the kind of thing you would expect to see in a nightmare, not on a peaceful hike in the Appalachian woods. The sound it made was a deep rumbling growl that seemed to shake the very ground beneath me. There was like a primal rawness, a sort of power that you can't really put into words. Then suddenly it let out a roar that echoed through the forest, making the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Then, just as suddenly, it disappeared from the light of my flashlight. I swung the light slowly back and tried to pinpoint the thing's current location, but I couldn't see anything at all, just that I was alone again, standing there in the pitch black with my heart pounding. That's when I realized that sweat was pouring down from my face and my chest. I hadn't even been aware of what was happening to my body until just then. As you can imagine, I didn't sleep a wink that night. Every noise, every shadow had me on edge. I couldn't wait for the day to break. So just as soon as the sun started peeking over the mountains, I packed up my stuff and I headed onward. There was no real place to go but to continue on the AT. I did cut the hike short. I didn't make those full final 2 weeks. I just couldn't get over what had happened. I will tell you that since the encounter, I have been back to the Appalachian Trail, but never to that same spot. I can't say I'd ever want to see that section of the trail ever again. My unit and I were stationed at a training base in the Croatian National Forest. We were told that there had been sightings of this creature, and it was very dangerous, so we were on guard for anything, really. One night, while driving with my navigator, I saw something very large go up in a tree about 100 to 150 yards from the road. My NCO IC also saw this and identified it as a cryptid. I didn't know what that was. I was too busy concentrating on driving in order to avoid hitting whatever it was because it happened so fast. I was convinced it was going to land right in the road, so I have no idea what kind of being it was. What we saw was a large, long, dark-furred creature leap from off a dirt road and into the middle of the road. It had been standing next to a tree just outside the wood line that runs parallel to this very desolate stretch of rural highway. It quickly leaps out of view from the road, off into the tree line, disappearing for good. At that point, I was just a young soldier at the time. It is the only cryptid sighting of my entire life. It had been a clear night with rain earlier that day, so visibility was good even into the woods that were about 20 to 50 yards from each side of this two-lane road. We stopped and got out to take a look around, but with no flashlight, we had no real idea of what direction to walk. To be honest, I was too freaked out to go into the woods for a closer look myself. We both said that whatever it was must have moved through very quickly and back off into the darkness. We did not hear anything past our own hearts racing. At this point, I've been in the Army now for 23 years, and not much faces me anymore. The one thing that will always stick out in my mind was this encounter. I am a believer of UFOs, but when it comes to cryptids such as Bigfoot or whatever it was, if it leaves tracks you can find them, then I'm more than willing to believe it exists. Here's another story. I was at Fort Bragg. It was about 1 a.m. I was sitting on the ground outside waiting for a security checkpoint to clear when I heard something crashing through the trees just over my shoulder towards my right side. If you imagine yourself in that situation, then you have a good example of how I felt. I heard this crashing through the woods sound not more than 20 feet behind me, but there was nothing to be seen other than the trees shaking like crazy. When I turned around and looked, I saw something brown about the size of a small bear covered in fur with black hair all over its face. It kind of had a long tail and pointy ears and no hair on the very top of its face. I would say it was maybe no more than 200 pounds. I began to get very scared and started to pull out my pistol when this thing turned and saw me, ran back into the woods, and was now gone. I felt like it wasn't going to hurt anybody and that I was safe. But if you saw this thing, you would understand why I started reaching for my pistol. The whole encounter maybe lasted 5 to 10 seconds at most. The Texas highway stretched out before me, a ribbon of asphalt cutting through the barren landscape. I was on my usual route, hauling a load of logs to a remote rural town. The sun was starting to dip below the horizon, casting long shadows across the road. It was a lonely drive, but I was used to the solitude. It was just me, my trusty old truck, and the open road. As I drove along, the rhythmic hum of the engine and the monotonous scenery started to lull me into a sense of tranquility. I was lost in my thoughts, my mind wandering to everything and nothing all at once. But that peaceful reverie was abruptly shattered when I saw something that sent a jolt of adrenaline through my veins. Up ahead, in the middle of the road, stood a group of figures. My foot instinctively eased off the gas pedal as I squinted to get a better look. At first, I thought they were a pack of wild dogs. But as I drew closer, my blood turned to ice in my veins. These creatures were like no dogs I'd ever seen. They were bipedal, standing on their hind legs like humans. Their bodies were covered in mottled, coarse fur, and their eyes glowed a sinister shade of red. Their snouts were long and black, and their mouths were filled with rows of sharp, gleaming teeth. The most unnerving thing of all was that they seemed to be communicating with each other in a language that was anything but natural. It was guttural and otherworldly, like a symphony of discordant sounds. I honked my horn, hoping to scare them away. But instead of scattering, the pack of creatures dissolved into the shadows and started to converge on my truck. Panic surged through me, and I slammed on the gas pedal, my heart racing as I tried to speed past them. But they were faster than I could have ever imagined. One of them leaped onto the side of my truck, its claws scraping against the metal as it tried to pry open the door. Another slammed its massive body against my window, its red eyes boring into mine. They were relentless, their movements coordinated and calculated. It was as if they were working together with a single purpose to get to me. I felt a surge of primal fear, my instincts taking over as I pushed the truck's accelerator to the floor. The engine roared to life, and the truck surged forward, tires screeching on the pavement. The creatures were still hot on my tail, their inhuman speed allowing them to keep up with my speeding truck. For what felt like an eternity, the pursuit continued. My heart hammered in my chest, and sweat poured down my brow. The howls and growls of the creatures echoed in my ears, drowning out all other sounds. But slowly, I began to gain some distance between us. The wind howled in my ears as I pushed the truck to its limits, praying that I could outrun whatever they were. And then, as suddenly as they had appeared, they stopped. I risked a glance in my rearview mirror and saw the creatures standing on the road, watching me with their glowing red eyes. And then, one by one, they began to fade into the darkness, disappearing as if they were never there. Relief flooded through me, and I let out a shaky breath that I hadn't realized I'd been holding. I pulled over to the side of the road, my heart still racing, my hands trembling on the steering wheel. I sat there for a moment, trying to process what had just happened. I knew that I had encountered something beyond explanation that night. Those creatures, whatever they were unlike anything I had ever encountered. As I drove the rest of the way to the rural town, The image of those glowing red eyes haunted me. And even though I made it out of that ordeal alive, I couldn't shake the feeling that I had come face to face with something ancient and otherworldly, something that should have never existed in the first place.